before has the world come across four men more willing to share their collective knowledge and wisdom for nothing in return. They'll deliver it to you with such style and class and make Samuel L. Jackson look more like your snotty-nosed cousin who still wets the bed.
Fuller, go easy on the Pepsi.
Why am I saying incredibly wonderful things about these men? Well, I have a terrible, terrible gambling habit and I owe them a lot of money. It'll be epic.
Something special is about to happen.
It'll be brave.
No fear, no hesitation.
It'll be perfect in every way possible.
Are you kidding me?
Rangers. Pete, Muffy and Joe, coming to you in all its pre-recorded glory from the capital of Australia. This is The Sports Trench.
Yes, episode 135 of The Sports Trench is here. And another great weekend of football we've just had. Anzac weekend. Boys, the usual crew here. Fulzy, Muffy, I'll introduce you both at the same time. How are you? So, Muffy, you can now jump in whenever you want, because we know you're going to want to.
Good, thanks.
No, you're Fulzy.
Oh, okay.
How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Yeah, what's been happening?
Not much. Just working hard for the money.
Sound very depressed. Oh, wow, you got excited.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited. Last night, I booked my cage diving with sharks off the coast of Cape Town there.
You could just do that in the Shire.
Yeah, I could.
Josh Dugan.
Yeah.
You
cage. I'll bring my own cage. Yeah. No, that sounds good too. But this one should be hopefully with Grey White. So.
Right.
I'm very excited.
Why?
Because I think it'll be fun.
I don't know about what point of that any of that is fun.
Seeing a big shark? That's very fun to me.
Can they get you?
No.
Haven't you seen YouTube footage of them sort of getting their noses in the cages and...
Yeah.
Having a nibble.
Yeah, but I know a bit of karate, so it'll be all right.
Well, yeah, you just punch him on the nose.
Yeah, apparently. Exactly.
Well, and that's the only bit you see. Yeah. Would you punch one on the nose if it came there?
Nah. We'd be buds, I reckon.
You reckon you'd be buds?
Yeah, I'd just let someone else.
Not saying you're a good meal for a shark.
Yeah.
But if I'm a shark, my eyes are lighting up if I see you sitting in a cage.
Oh, yeah. No, that's fair.
Do you reckon, because they're South African sharks.
Yeah.
Do they come up and go, Hazard fools in my eyes?
Yes, they do, for sure.
How you doing, bro? Okay?
Yeah, that's exactly how they speak.
No.
Yeah, God. I was going to eat you, but I've had a change of heart because now we're quite good buds.
I was just listening to Rodriguez and I had a change of heart, eh?
You're going to Africa, yeah? Yep. Or are you going to South Africa?
Both. Oh, all of it.
Both.
South Africa is in Africa.
Whereabouts in Africa? Whereabouts in Africa is South Africa?
Oh, it's at the southern bit.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, right down the bottom.
Makes sense.
Right down the bottom.
Holds up, yep.
Yep.
I thought it was in the north, but thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, straight down the bottom.
All right, let's move on, shall we? Muffy, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, thank you, Pete. I'm good.
Yeah, what's been happening? How was your weekend, Anzac weekend? You went to the game?
I went to, yes, Storm Warriors. I believe I've got to review that, so I'll tell you about it then, Pete. But it was good. Good experience.
The last post.
Yes, it was it was good to actually see something like that. And you went to the AFL, the Rival Code.
I did.
Do you remember much of it?
I do remember fair bit of it, despite the $1 pots trying to cloud my judgment. We found a pub before the game that was doing $1 pots. A lot of pots were had.
Oh, no.
But, it was excellent. We were second last row. And despite that, the G is just a fantastic venue to watch any sport from. You can see everything from there. And the last post is just absolutely spine-tingling, and the roar of the crowd when the last post is finished and the game is about to start, it is pretty epic. Well worth going to see.
Well, it would have been good if I had got a ticket, but didn't get a ticket.
You weren't invited.
Well, there you go. That's why I didn't get a ticket.
I went with my real actual friends.
Yeah, good. Good to see. So that was obviously in a short week last week for everyone too.
Yeah.
Most people at work, so that was a good
times.
It was a good time. Now, something else happened last week.
Yes.
One of my favourite times of the year. I know you boys love it.
NFL draft. Dear. Here we go. What do we got? Who we got this year?
Okay. Soapy. I know you guys love this. So this
anything
is...
anything as good as Clinton Harbor.
Oh, look, there's some doozies this year. Dude. So for people that don't know, what I do every year is I go through the whole draft and pick out some of the best names that have come out in the draft. And there's always been some doozies. So without further ado, let me get into some absolute crackers. All right, so these are in no particular order, and I don't know where they go, most of these people. Mm-hmm. So we have Noah Fant.
Noah Fant?
Yeah, I think this is a good one, Fuzzy. You'll like this one. Montez Sweat.
Oh, I like it. Mm. It's a good name.
Debo Samuel.
Debo Samuel? Mm-hmm. What?
Debo.
What do you mean, Debo?
That's his first name, D-double-E-B-O.
Is it just a D-B-O or is it a D-E-B-O?
D-double-E-B-O.
Oh, what?
Debo. No.
That's that. Okay. Do-do-do-do. What is wrong with these people?
Greedy Williams.
Oh,
he is very greedy.
No. This is I don't mind this one. Drew Sample.
Drew as in J-R-U-E, Drew, or
no, as in D-R-E-W, Drew. Sample.
Drew Sample.
As in?
The profession.
As in a bit of gelato. Mm. Sample.
Oh, I'd like to sample some gelato. Yeah. Do you have some?
No.
No. Oh. Well, that's disappointing.
Max Sharping.
Oh, no.
J.J. Arcega Whiteside. Hyphened.
Okay.
He's from upper class school, I think. Mm.
Yes.
Taylor Rapp.
R-A-double-P.
R-A-double-P. You know me. Chase Winovich. Yeah. Not bad.
Chase Winovich.
Now, this could be in the... This guy could be in the NRL. Sione Takitaki.
Sione could be.
Well, this is a good one. Chama Idoga.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Chama, first name.
Chama. Chama Idoga.
Now, this is another upper class one. Chauncey Gardner Johnson.
Ooh.
Chauncey.
God.
Mitchell Wisniewski.
Are we just reading out the whole draft now?
No, there's a few. There's good ones in here, Pete. Like, here's another one. Drew Tranquil.
He's very chill. Just relaxed. Mm. Drew.
Marvell Tell.
No.
Yep. True story.
They didn't. Mm-hmm. That's just silliness.
This one's not silly. I just like the way it sounds. Andrew Van Ginkle.
That sounds like Ace Ventura Pet Detective. What's his name?
Ray Finkel.
Yeah.
Laces out, Dan. EJ Speed.
Ooh.
Now, there's a couple of famous names went in this draft as well. Michael Jackson and Michael Jordan both went in this draft.
Oh, good, good.
There you go, yep.
And they obviously saw...
There's a lot of expectations to live up to with both those
That's
names.
That's right. They saw some potential in the NRL's highest point scorer and game winner. Cameron Smith got a run in this draft as well.
Good.
Yeah.
Yep.
I like this one. Trace McSorley.
These names aren't real.
No.
Like, these aren't people. Like, you've just made these up.
And to finish it off, and I thought of Fulzy when I saw this one. DeMarcus Christmas. Rounds out what was the 2019 best names of the NFL
DeMarcus
draft.
Christmas is probably DeMarcus the best Christmas. One. There's no ha-ha Clinton Dix there.
No, that is the best name I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think anything will ever top ha-ha.
Nah.
But yes, all right, well, thanks, Muffy. Appreciate your draft wrap-up.
I knew you guys would. I know you love that time of the year.
All right, well, what do we got this week, boys? We do Ward 4, as per usual. We got the Round 7 review, Round 8 preview. We answer some more questions. I think I am the Jinx, pretty much. We got some Supercoach, and Simona says Grevis should gamble. But before all that, we should probably do the news.
The good, the bad, and the...
McSorley.
From the
train. McSorley. Oh, God. All right. Well, that'll do.
I could have gone with Van Ginkle.
You should have gone with Van Ginkle, I think. What do we got this week, boys? First up, we've got the mass exodus from the Broncos. Reported this week that Cody Nikurima will be a New Zealand Warrior starting from next week, and he is sitting out this week. Been offered a huge deal, and by the sounds of things, Seabold isn't the biggest fan of Nikurima. Secondly, James Roberts is rumoured to be going to the South Sydney Rabbitohs, leaving the Broncos as well. What do we think?
I think it's bad news for the Broncos. I mean, James Roberts, to me, I don't think he's a great... I mean, I just don't think he's a great influence in a team, to be honest. But maybe he feels that he needs Wayne...
Uncle Wayne.
I'd say he's Darius 2.0, and I think he needs direction of Wayne, so that's probably a fair chance behind him. And look, if the Warriors want to cough up big bickies for Cody Nikurima, go for it. Do you know what the cash is there? It seems to me
apparently 500 a year for 3 or 4 years or something.
No, he's on. It's apparently rumored to be double what he's already on.
He's only on 250.
He's only on 250
yeah.
a year.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, he's been a bench reserve. Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah. Even if that's the case, then I'd be taking that money if I was him.
Well, absolutely. But
if they're going to throw it around, I'd be going. I'd be saying, hey, with 3 years, 500k, like that sets me up.
And I think this is good for Brisbane. I'd get off both those salaries. Nikurima is a pretty good player, but he doesn't fit with Milford. And if you're going to persist with him in the halves, then I think it's good to get off that salary. And I don't think James Roberts is that crucial, really. Let him go.
No, I think, they've got Katoni Staggs, who I think they really like. And I think he will just come straight into that centre position. I'd be surprised if he doesn't. But what are they going to do? Who are they going to replace in the halves?
Thomas Diarden is an 18-year-old rookie who's been playing for Wynnum Manly in the Queensland Cup, and so he's going to come in this week. Sean O'Sullivan, the former Roosters player, is also named in the reserves, so he potentially is also another one who could come in if Diarden does no good.
Yeah, okay. Well, I suppose, you know, there's plenty of teams that are, giving young halves a crack. Obviously, the Warriors have done it this year as well. So that's interesting that the Warriors want him over there.
Well, Stephen Kearney, being the New Zealand coach, previously had Nikurima, so I think that's why.
And do you think it's for cover for Green, because he's been injured?
I don't think you're paying him 500 a year for cover.
I think he goes into...
He goes into one of the halves, but because Blake Green is an ageing half, having some issues...
Move him on.
Well, no, I think they're going to keep Green, but I think it's an insurance policy because at the moment, when Green goes down, they've got not much.
They've got two rookies, essentially, when Green goes down.
Surely they're the guys who lose out.
Have they got Mason Lienal as well?
No, he's at the Knights.
He went, that's right. Okay.
I think that, Harris Tavita is out of that side as soon as Nikurima arrives.
I think so. He hasn't done anything wrong, though. I saw him play on the weekend, and I was quite impressed.
Yeah, obviously, though, Kearney isn't impressed enough to persist.
Yeah, obviously.
Anyway. All right, moving on. Second story this week, boys. Penrith again. You're in the news every week, mate.
Yeah.
What is going on? Jimmy Maloney's been in the news this week. He went on Twitter to reply to an article by that wonderful journalist, Buzz Rothfield, who's never written anything that's got an ounce of truth to it, I think. Basically saying Jimmy Maloney's not happy. He's not happy he's been stripped of the captaincy. Well, that's not what he said.
This is what Buzz said he said.
Buzz has implied that he's just not happy around the place and he's kicking cans around the field and got the shits and basically doesn't want to listen to what's he's been told and wants to be leaving to go to Super League for a 3-year deal.
Why is there cans on the field?
Oh, I don't know.
I suppose it is Penrith.
Yeah. Well, he's actually helping clean up.
So he says, sees a kick in a can. He goes, someone says, what you doing? He says, moving.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. So what do we think, boys? What do we think about Jimmy replying to Buzz?
Oh, well, if it's, it's clearly, if he doesn't agree with it and it's clearly, speculation and lies, then, why not? Because, again, it can't you know, it may hurt his standing if he doesn't reply to it. You know, no one's going to care outside the club. No one's going to care, but inside the club, players inside the club might think that there's some truth to it. So I think, yeah, he's right to go out and, you know, reply and attack and say that's complete rubbish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Buzz is one of those journalists, which I use quite loosely, who really their market is negative stories.
Clickbait
and negativity. And if you write nonsense, you know, you should be called out.
It's like that I use the term basketballer for you loosely.
Yes.
Similar sort of scenario.
But Buzz might be even looser.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's pretty bad.
He is pretty bad. Yeah, look, I think it was a clickbait headline that it's easy to pile on a side that isn't going well. And I thought you were much better this week anyway. So, yeah, poor old Jimmy. But I think he's gone anyway. I don't think he's going to be there.
No, I think he will leave. I think there's possibly some truth to being unhappy with losing all the time. He's not really accustomed to that in his career. But, yeah, I think he's possibly gone. And yeah, I think
a three-year UK deal to finish off your career.
Yeah.
Well, and why are you still... Like, he will go over there and carve it up in Super League. I mean, there's been a lot worse players go over there. Like, he's not... He's obviously not in his prime, but he's not past it by any stretch.
No, I think,
so, yeah. You know, getting big cash for 3 years over there, yeah, sets him up for life after football.
Mm. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the news. We're moving on to Ward 4.
Smash me, that could have put him in Ward 4.
The sports trenches.
I hope not, Bill. That's a maternity ward.
Ward 4.
You have changed this week. You are spot on this morning.
I'm still half asleep, but I'm still working it.
Yeah, you are spot on. I'm impressed. What do we got this week, boys? Jordan Rapiner, he's got a rib cartilage issue, and he's out for 2 to 3 weeks. Jake Friend has a torn bicep. He's out for 4 months. Jake Friend has been in and out of this squad a lot.
Yeah.
So far to start the year.
He possibly would have been playing Origin this year, but...
I think so, but it's gone now. Sean Johnson has a hamstring injury. He's out for 4 weeks. Nick Arima has a calf/big decision. He's out for 1 week.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, it's called like it's like, oh, he's got a calf injury, so we're just gonna rest him. But he just has a big decision to make.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, well, that's cool. DCE has an ankle injury. He's out for 4 to 6 weeks and is going to be racing the clock after having surgery to make Origin.
It's not ideal to be racing the clock on a busted ankle. Not advisable. I'm sure his doctors are.
You're probably right. But he's doing it anyway. That's how he rolls.
Yeah.
Tamari Martin.
Like an ankle. Ha! Boom.
Oh, God. Tamari Martin has a bleed on the brain and has been having migraines. So he's been sent for scans. Doesn't sound good, though.
Mm.
The Cowboys are investigating where it happened or how it might have happened, but they're not really sure at this point in time. Jorge Tafua has a calf strain, and he's going to be out this week at least. Josh Reynolds has an MCL injury. He's out for 2 to 4 weeks.
Oh, okay. I thought that looked worse than that.
Did you say Sean Johnson?
Yes.
Yep.
Cool. Thanks for policing my job for me. I appreciate that one.
Sorry, I wasn't listening.
Yeah, that's good. I could tell you weren't listening. No, that's great. Cheers for that. All right, let's move on then, shall we, to the Round 7 review.
Oh, Pete.
What have you done?
You put the mockers
Where
on
else
me.
Were we going after that? Like, oh, we no. got to the end of Ward 4.
Put the mockers on.
I teed it all up. It just was on mute.
Oh, no.
The sports trench.
Thank you, madam.
There we go.
Round 7 review time. Thursday, 25 April. Roosters 20 defeating the Dragons 10. Foolsy.
The Roosters are now off to their best start in the last 2 decades, which is pretty scary considering how good they've been over the last 20 years. There was some pretty great resilience from the Dragons in this game, who made it hard for the Roosters, but in the end, they got home somewhat comfortably. Tauke Aho was again outstanding. He had the match-winning try in 272 metres, off just 20 runs. He's having a phenomenal year. But a bit of a discussion point, how frustrating is Latrell Mitchell? Like, he's so lazy.
He is a little bit lazy, but he also is an absolute superstar.
Exactly, and he just does not go looking for the ball. It's really, very frustrating.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a case of it could be the coach saying, look, stay on your side a fair bit. Let's just let your halves do their job. Don't go too much out of your wheelhouse at this point in time.
Mm.
He's a young guy, and I think you can fall in love with, you know, trying to do too much and getting in the way of what the structures are at the Roosters. And I think when you got Cooper Cronk and Luke Keary there, both of them are pretty good at managing games and telling people what to do.
Yeah, I think more so that I notice is he will never take a hit up coming out of their own end.
No, he just doesn't. No.
Yeah.
And he probably should because he's a big unit and he can really put some meters on if he really wanted to. But no, it's just not him. He
crazy.
Leaves it to Manu, the other wingers.
Yeah.
It's always that. Interesting. Dragons, look, they weren't spectacular in this game, but I think they were playing the best team in the comp. So
yeah, they weren't awful. They were all right.
All right, moving on then to Thursday, 25 April. Storms 13 defeating the Warriors 12. Muffy in a nail biter.
Well, it was a nail biter. I was there with 21,500 other people for this Anzac Day clash. It was
92,000 at my game. Just saying.
Yeah, well, this was pretty full. This stadium, pretty good. First time I'd been at Amy Park. Good ground to watch football in. It's obviously custom built for that sort of rectangular field, so you're pretty close to the action everywhere you go, which is awesome. This game, look, the Warriors were on fire to start this game. I think the Storm only had 30% possession in the first 20 minutes. The Warriors just kept on, you know, attacking, and they were making big meters too. Like Bunty Afau was just crashing through the line, and Papali'i was really good off the bench as well. Made some good impact. And the Storms just weren't... They were making some good meters, but they just weren't doing anything with the ball. And the reason I think... And I watched this, it's, you know, something that you don't get to see very often if you're not at a live game, how often they chose to go away from Brodie Croft. Cameron Munster, and particularly Cameron Smith, particularly in the second half, made conscious decisions to play on the wrong side on the other side where Brodie Croft was. All the time. Like, even if it was a short side, they would go to Munster on the short side instead of spreading it out to Brodie Croft on the other side. They literally cut him out of everything. The only thing that they gave him to do was...
some kicking.
Kicking, sure. Yeah, some long kicking, and essentially the field goal in the 77th minute to win this game, because he had not got the ball the whole time. So no one thought he was going to get it then. And, you know, even then, it hit the post and bounced in.
Do you think it's a non-trust thing? Or do you think it's a...
I just don't think he's very good.
Yeah.
I sort of was watching him pretty closely in this game just to see, how good he was. They run at him, opposition players run at him a lot in defence, which you would suspect that would be the case. Every time the Warriors back three were getting the ball and bringing it back in, they were just looking at Brodie Croft and running at him every time. It was interesting. I think he fills a hole in, I think, in any other team other than Melbourne, he wouldn't be around, because, you know, Melbourne is so well coached and so well drilled. He has a job, and it's basically your job is to kick the ball. In saying that, Munster needs to pass the ball. He is so dangerous with the ball. He was carrying two and three guys, but would just never offload, never pass it. There was a lot of opportunities that went begging for Melbourne because of basically people being selfish and just holding onto the ball. Will Chambers, again, kicking it through for himself.
Good God.
Chambers, I can't wait for him to be in Origin kicking for himself.
Oh, my Lord. At least he's starting to wait till like the third tackle instead of the first.
The Warriors were pretty good in this game. Both teams had over 80% completion rates in this game. But it was one of those games you think just Melbourne's going to somehow get out of it. It didn't feel like a nail biter because Melbourne was just behind the eight ball for so long. And even their attacking moves that they had, they were pretty much you could see that not much was going to come of it, just looking at it going, well, you know, this play's not going to unfold. So there was a controversial penalty with like 6 minutes to go, in right in front. Cameron Smith went to play the ball, and, you know, it was sort of the stuff that was happening the whole game. Cameron Smith happened to sort of dodgily play the ball and they gave a penalty to Melbourne, kicked the 2 points, and then within a couple of minutes they were 1 point in front and that was the game. So it sort of didn't feel like it came down to the wire at the game. But another get out of jail win for the Storms. They're second on the table, but they are not playing near as well as the Roosters. So I think they've been lucky to get out of some of these games. So,
yeah, the thing is the Storms can improve off that, and if they improve their attack, they'll be super dangerous.
I definitely think so, but I think watch this space for Brodie Cross because I can't imagine. I mean, they're lucky that they're winning. If they're not winning, then I think he's one of the first people that they point the finger at.
Like the Storms, Brodie Crofts.
Brodie Crofts.
Yeah, the Brodie Crofts. Anyway, moving on, Friday 26 April, Bulldogs 24, defeating the Cowboys 12. Muffy.
Where's my theme music, Pete?
I don't have it, sorry, mate. What do we got here, lads? Well, this game, it looked like the Cowboys were on top to start the game. They went up 6-0 relatively early. And they were doing the work that they had to do. However, the Bulldogs forwards and just took over in this game. Jaden Ockenbaugh got over late in the first half to tie it up at 6-6, and then it was all Corey Harawira Naira and Josh Jackson pretty much in this game. Those two guys absolutely killed it. Reece Martin killed it. You had 9 players over 100 meters in this game. Like, that is huge. The Cowboys forwards were pretty good in this game. They were had some big meters, Maguire, McLean, but they had no answers for those guys out wide. Maguire, McLean play pretty much in the middle of the field there. And they had no answers for this Bulldogs pack. When Corey Harawira Naira is on, he is absolutely awesome. And he's been on the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think if he continues, he's going to be close to one of the buys of the year if he keeps going in this rate, because he has definitely made a difference in that second row.
Yeah, and he made a difference at Penrith as well when he was playing well. It was just when he was rocks, he was absolutely rocks, like in that finals game against the Broncos where he dropped the ball 65 times.
Yeah.
Well, he's definitely an upgrade from Fatala Mariner, who was in that spot. So he's definitely an upgrade.
Yeah, exactly. Cowboys had 56% of possession as opposed to the Bulldogs 44, and Bulldogs still got the win. Bulldogs had 86% completion. Cowboys had 82%. It's just they couldn't do anything with the ball. Their attack just looks stifled at the moment. Morgan's the only real threat for those guys. Tamari Martin isn't really chiming in as a fullback the way you would hope he would. Clifford has been okay without being spectacular. They're just struggling at the moment. They need Lolo back. He's named again in the reserves this week.
Well, you can see they're struggling when they put Ben Hampton on a wing. So you can see they're just struggling for depth and to figure out how they actually get, a functioning team on the paddock, which is a bit of a concern.
Harawira and I had 2 tries, 43 tackles, 149 metres. Josh Jackson had a try, 33 tackles, 111 metres. Reece Martin, 126 metres. Ockenbaugh, 143 metres and a try. Like, the list just keeps going on. Elliott, off the bench, had 124, 28 tackles. It just keeps going on. Hopewade, 131 from the centres. Like,
Tolman, workhorse again, as ever.
Yeah, just, so Tolman had 144, 42 tackles.
And probably, 75 minutes?
Yeah, there were other Nick Meaney had 131 from the back, which you'd expect probably from a fullback just for a standard game. But yeah, they were really good in this game, and if they had played like this a couple of weeks ago against the Dragons, they wouldn't have got smacked the way they did.
No, they're still sitting last on the table, but it's a lot tighter now. Was it your logic, Fulzy, or Pete's logic last week, saying a team was only 1 win out of the 8?
Yeah.
Well, that's
and know, there's 2 wins out of the 8.
Yeah. 2 wins out of the 8. But there's 5 teams on 4 points there or something like that.
Anyway, that brings us to the end of that one. Let's move on, shall we? Saturday, 27 April. No, Friday, 26 April. One more game. Rabbitohs 22 defeating the Panthers 18. Fulzy.
It was a loss, but Penrith were probably the best they've been all year. Souths were strong starters, but Penrith made a game of it in the end. But really it came down to the goal line defense of South and Panthers' inability to score an attack, which was the difference. Penrith had plenty of ball inside the danger zone, but they just couldn't capitalize. They only really looked like they might get lucky off a dropped bomb or something, or just kick out barging over, which he did in the end, but they just weren't a threat. For Rabbitohs, Walker was again the star.
Absolutely. He was awesome in this game, Cody Walker, and again, pretty much for the last. He had a quiet couple of games to start the year, but he has been absolutely on fire. And on fire, like, I thought Kikau was back to his devastating best as he was last year in this game. He was really impressive, and hopefully he's over those injuries now and he can sort of, you know, be that consistent in this Penrith side, because they definitely need him.
He is a
game changer, that guy, like, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's so big and so versatile for a big guy.
Yeah.
Like, he steps, he's quick, he's offloads, like, he is just
good hands. He's phenomenal. Yeah, he's pretty incredible.
I think the Panthers were probably the better side here and unlucky to lose. South are scraping by in wins at the moment, and they've sort of been doing this all year. They've not really put anyone to the sword. They're not a great defensive side, and I think that's going to show up come finals time unless they start to address some issues there.
Yeah, I don't think they're with the Roosters, obviously, but probably not even with Melbourne.
Yeah, I just don't think they can stop Melbourne, and Melbourne have a better defense.
Yeah.
All right, moving on then, shall we, to Saturday, 27 April. Tigers 30, defeating the Titans 14. Look, not much to say about this game. Tigers bounced back to what we thought they would be earlier on in the year, where we thought they were a good side. Titans started the game. They're up 14-0 and absolutely killing them, and then just went to sleep. And it was all Tigers from then on. A number of players played well for the Tigers. They looked like their attack was better balanced this time, and hopefully now with Benji back, that's probably going to make a difference as well. I think Benji's a better fit for this side than Reynolds is, but they had a number of players go big. Moses Mbai was huge. Chris McQueen came into this game. Momorowski came into this game, and Elijah Taylor came into this game for the Tigers. So Maguire had people in 18, 19, and 21, which makes Fulsey super happy.
Far out.
But the changes actually made a big difference, and those guys have held their spots this week. So it looks like Maguire is going to put people in who are willing to play hard every single week. And if you're not, he's going to drop them. It's pretty simple at the moment. So that was pretty good. For the Titans, Cartwright has been pretty good in attack.
Oh, Cardi party.
Yeah, he has been pretty good in attack, but there's not much really to say. Michael Gordon's his usual good self, but when these guys are playing bad, they play real bad.
Yeah, this was a real turnaround. The first 20 minutes of this game, it was like the Titans are just going to absolutely pace the Tigers. And to the Tigers' credit, look, they played extremely well to come back, and not only come back, but dominate the rest of the game.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, moving on. Saturday, 27 April, Broncos 29, defeating the Sharks 6. Muffy.
Well, speaking of dominating, holy hell, the Broncos are back. I picked it. I thought they had to come good at some point, and this was the game. This was all over at halftime. It was 20-20 to zip.
Sean Johnson's hamstring injury hurt.
It did hurt, but, you know, only one player in a team. The Broncos scored all across the park. Yeah, Corey Oates, Alex Glenn, Offa Hengawi, and Roberts all got over the stripe. Look, Sharks. I mean, the Broncos were. Let's focus on the Broncos. They were really good in this game. They had 58% possession. They completed 80% of their sets. They only had 16 missed tackles. They had 8 line breaks compared to the Sharks' 2. They played really well. On the other hand, the Sharks were appalling. They only completed 63% of their sets. They had 51 missed tackles, and they were just hanging. They got over. I think they got over. Was it one of the Brayleys got over? Sort of, you know, 20 minutes out, but it was all over by then. They were never coming back. A good win for the Broncos. Something that they desperately needed, particularly up there in front of their home crowd. But the Sharks again have been good in games, but pretty disappointing, and I think they've been lucky to get away with a few wins, and this one, yeah, no, this one they were never in it.
Moylan, Graham, Johnson, you take any of those guys out of any squad who are in key positions and the side would be struggling. And so I think the Sharks have done as well to stay afloat as it is.
Yeah, I think, and yeah, you're right. I think they definitely have done well to, you know, get in games and win games that, you know, they probably, you know, were 50-50. But that's only going to get you so far. If your depth is starting to get tested, then, you know, it's only going to be so long before you eventually crack.
I agree, but I don't know any squad that can survive losing your fullback, your halfback, one of your key second rowers, and Gallen for a period of time, Nakora for a period of time. Like, Nakora had a suspension.
Yeah.
Dugan's been out. Like, I don't know any squad in the NRL that can survive that many injuries all at the same time.
No, exactly. And this is why I think that the Sharks are going to, you know, go backwards down the ladder.
Yeah, look, I think as soon as they get those players back, they'll have a quick rise again as well. I don't think the comps are that good that they can't bring it back. And I don't think they're in as dire straits as some of the other sides in the competition. All right, moving on. Sunday, 28 April, Seagulls 24, defeating the Raiders 20. Disappointing. My music can't even be played this week. The Raiders started to believe the hype in this game, and the problem with that is when the Raiders start to believe their own hype, they start doing dumb things like throwing the football around like they're world beaters, and the defense was not good in this game. Particularly, Lachlan Croker absolutely came back to haunt the Raiders, scored two tries, looked absolutely like a world beater. For the Raiders, losing Jordan Rapana early hurt, because he takes a lot of carries and a lot of big meters. The shuffle of Joey Leilua to the wing was not a good one. That side of the defense was where points went down. He's just not a winger. And so they made a change of moving Croker to the wing on the other side and moving Kotrick at halftime across to Joey Leilua's side of the field, which I think was much better, had a bit of better balance, but by then, it was too late. The Seagulls were rolling by then, particularly scoring two tries to get back within 14-12 at the break in a game they possibly shouldn't have been in early on. Marty Taupau went through for a pretty soft try, but Lachlan Croker's try was absolutely poor. Like, they just shouldn't have scored that try. Having said that, the Seagulls were really good in this game, particularly after going down early. They kept fighting. DCE then went down with about half an hour to go in the game.
Yeah, and they got better.
And they played much better, which is not something usually the Seagulls do. When they lose DCE, they usually get worse. Raiders' chance went over late, but it was all over.
Then the second half of this game, the Raiders were their own worst enemy. They were, you know, had the Seagulls pinned sort of coming out of their own 10, 20
meters.
Give away
a penalty.
And they gave away, I think they gave away four penalties with the Seagulls coming out of their own end, and they were just constantly under pressure for probably 15, 20 minutes.
Admittedly, one of those was apparently for crowding. The guy just dropped the ball cold.
Yeah, there was, but some of them were, again, it's just discipline. So, the Seagulls were basically camped down the Raiders' end for a fair chunk of the second half. The Raiders, when they did get the ball back, you know, they were making some good meters and getting back there. They just had a couple of line breaks in the end. Like, Jared Croker went extremely close to scoring before Klokstad did. So, again, you know, a loss for the Raiders, but it's something. It's a different Raiders team this year. I mean, they actually, you know, they did come back and they were fighting the whole way. They just were not good enough. And as you mentioned, Pete, you know, their poor defense in the first, you know, those first few tries that Manly scored to get them back into the game, I think definitely come back to haunt them later. They did, you know, the Raiders were doing a lot of defence in this game.
All right, moving on. Sunday, 28 April, Knights 28 defeating the Eels 14. Foolsy.
The Knights were up for this one from the get-go and got out to a 14-0 lead within the 12th minute, and it looked like they could really run away with it. It even got out to 20-0 before the Eels fought back with 14 straight. Before the Knights iced the game with the last 8 points. Pierce's kicking game at the start was pretty wonderful, but it got a bit predictable as the game went on, and they were either Pierce was trying to grubber it through the line, which the Eels started putting their feet out and stopping, or just trying to get Ponga to do something every time. So they've probably got a few more strings they need to add to their bow, but a good win nonetheless. Bit of a crazy stat coming out of this game. Reid Mahoney made 69 tackles.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Mm.
Yeah, Knights were too good in this one, and they finally got a win at home, which they were begging for. All right, that brings us to the end of the round 7 review. Let's move on then, shall we, to some questions and some answers.
Ooh, the sports trench.
Ooh, indeed. So last week, boys, we talked about should Joey Leilua get picked for New South Wales? Well, based on his weekend performance, I'd say the jury is out. Joey was not the good Joey at the weekend. And it probably showed that, you know, one or two bad games and you're probably going to have yourself out of that conversation. So he needs to pick it back up this week, that's for sure. Halves for Queensland. Well, DCE got injured, so I am definitely the mock asking these questions. So that could force the hand anyway. So it might be McCulloch at hooker and Hunt and Munster in the halves.
Maybe Morgan.
Maybe Morgan and Hunt. Yeah, and Hunt off that utility. So either way, though, I think that makes the decision for game one. Yeah. I think racing in a guy last minute to get into Origin is pretty tough.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any other option, though. If he's fit, you just got to do it, I reckon.
Maybe. So, got a couple other questions, lads. So, first one is, who has been your best player so far to start the year? Fulzy, you can go first.
I've got a few that I think are all on sort of the same level. Do I have to narrow down to one?
Look, I'll let you have a few. All right. Well, actually, I'll give you the first one. Muffy can give his, and then you can go with some other ones.
Yeah, and then maybe just like an underrated one or something.
Yeah.
If you think one of these is... Yeah.
No, you can go with all
very
of
good.
Them.
Okay.
Very good. All right. I think obvious one is Cody Walker has been probably...
Muffy took your player anyway.
That's probably the best so far.
Yeah, Cody Walker's been excellent. I agree with that. Muffy, what do you got then?
Well, Cody Walker clearly was my... You know, I think he's been an absolute standout. So far, he had, as I said, he had a slightly slower start to the season, but you know, in the last few weeks, he's been an absolute world beater. And again, he keeps playing like this, he's going to put himself into the conversation for the halves in New South Wales. I mean, you know, you can't ignore someone like that.
Filler came out and said that he's going to pick the incumbents this week.
Did he?
Yep.
Wow. So,
that's what he said.
Whoa, so, actually.
So those other guys pretty much have to. Feel pretty disheartened by that.
Yeah.
Anyway, look, I get it. Like, I understand why it's they won a series last year, but you lose game one and picking guys out of form and you're in big, big trouble.
Yeah.
Anyway, my best player for the start of the year has been, and it's going to annoy both of you, Latrell Mitchell.
What?
Yeah. He is just a game breaker. He just wins games. Look how many games he's won for that Roosters outfit this year. Look how many times he breaks tackles, scores tries, breaks backs of teams. Like, he's just unbelievable.
He hasn't even been the best player on his own team.
I think he pretty much has been.
Better than Keary.
Well, no. Keary and him sit on the same side of the field, though. You're only as good as your half, and he is a centre. He has been phenomenal. The field goal he kicks, the tries he scores when he breaks backs. Like, he just is... unbelievable.
I think he's the most exciting.
He's a game breaker, and he does it in big moments in big games.
I don't know. Jeez, I think he's like...
I know, he frustrates you.
Oh, top five for Roosters, but like, has he been that much better than Tedesco?
Yeah.
Has he been that much better than Tau Keaho? He's been killing it,
and I do agree like with that, but I just think that off the back of those other guys' work, like... Mitchell then just is the finishing touch. And he just, like, I don't think it would matter what side he's in the comp. He'd just break teams' backs.
I'm not offended by it.
You seem very offended.
Oh, I'm skeptical. But I'm not offended.
Yeah, like, fair enough.
Outlandish.
Look, I want to be controversial. All right, so then we'll go to which player has been the most disappointing start of the year? Muffy, I'll start with you so Fulzy doesn't steal. Oh, wait, what other players did you have?
Oh, I had another half who I think has been right there with Walker and Keary, and that's DCE, Manly are sitting in fifth. No Trbojevic, no Walker. Adam Fanua Blake in and out. I think he's been just as good, really, as those two other guys.
Yep.
And honourable mentions to Gutherson and Roger Chuvasic.
I was going to get some honourable mentions. I think Gutherson deserves one. RTS, yes. And some rookies. Bateman for the Raiders, I think, has been very good. I think you've got to say Ockhambor has come on as a rookie for the Dogs. Has been pretty...
He's not in that same class as any of those other guys.
Oh, no. But, I mean, as a genuine rookie coming in, I think he's played well. And Bronson Zering, I think, has also played well.
Neither of those guys are in the
same. No, it's honourable mention, Pete. That's how it works.
No, that's not how it works.
Well, I'm not answering the next question.
Good. Which player has been the most disappointing to start the year? Fulsey. Not including injuries.
Maybe one verges on injuries because they're coming back, but two Panthers, Mansour and Edwards. I say the most disappointing. They haven't been the worst, but I was expecting...
They're pretty close to being the worst.
They're pretty close to being the worst, and I was also expecting them to have big years, so they're the most disappointing.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Broncos, and I'm going to say their halves.
Mm.
And whilst Milford was very good this week, just gone before that... Mm. Both of them had been very disappointing to start this year.
Yeah, they were right on.
Yeah. So I think they've been the most disappointing. Mm. All right, then we're moving on to the round 8 preview because he's not going to answer any questions. Let's go.
I'm not even ready because I was going to answer some questions.
Oh, were you going to answer it? What were you going to say?
Oh, I can't believe Fulsey's missed out this person, Connor Watson.
He's been horrendous. I didn't expect him to be amazing.
No, but he's been pretty bad.
Yeah,
he's been very bad. All right. Moving on then to the round 8 preview then, shall we?
The Sports Trench.
Thank you, madam. Thursday, 2nd of May, Rabbitohs versus the Broncos at ANZ Stadium. For the Rabbitohs, there are no changes from the squad last week, although the Totola and Burgess swap will continue, I feel, which Bennett's been doing every week. Which Fulsey just pulled a face.
Why? Like, why? What is it achieving? What are you doing? It's just stupid.
Okay, good. For the Broncos, Thomas Dearden starts for Nick Arima. Tough one to pick, boys. Rabbitohs haven't been playing well. Broncos did have a much better game last week. You're putting in a rookie half, though, in a game where Seabold and Bennett going up against each other's old clubs. Do you think those Burgi are going to take this lightly? I reckon there's a good chance that one of them gets pinged for some sort of high shot because they're fired up massively. And I just don't know if the Broncos are going to be able to handle this side, particularly the young players. I don't know if they're going to be able to handle a bit of adversity, which I think the Rabbitohs can put some pressure on them. So I'm going to go the Rabbitohs by 6, but not super confident.
Yeah, I think there'll be a lot of interest in this game, obviously, just because of what happened in the preseason. But looking at the two teams, yeah, I think you've got to go the Rabbitohs. It is, I don't know what the Rabbitohs record is up. It's up there, isn't it, in Brisbane?
No, ANZ.
ANZ, well, yeah, not even a chance. Rabbitohs by 12.
Yeah, I'll go Rabbitohs by 6.
Friday, 3 May, Cowboys versus the Titans at 1300 Smiles, Muffy.
Yeah, battle of the struggling Queenslanders. For the Cowboys, as mentioned earlier, it's Murray Martin. He's out, suffering from what is believed to be a brain bleed. Jordan Kahu will replace him at fullback, which means Tom Opacic will be coming on to the wing. As Pete has already mentioned, Tamalolo was named in the reserves, and surely he's got to be, if he's ready to go, he has to be in this team. I don't know why you keep naming him in the reserves. But
I think he's just got to get through the captain run this week. Yeah. So that was the aim.
So, yeah. So, if that's the case, then Asiata will probably drop to the bench and, I don't know, Francis Molo might drop out.
Just name Asiata in the halves.
Yeah,
just
do it. I agree.
You got nothing else there, and he's that good. Just name him in the halves.
Yeah, definitely.
For the Titans, Jared Wallace comes back from suspension. Philip Sammy actually gets his starting spot on the wing back. He's been playing in Chumper number 14 for the last couple of weeks and playing on the wing anyway. So he's actually been named. Dale Copley is the one that makes way. He's out with a quad injury. And AJ Brimson will come back onto the bench, which I think is good for the Titans. Now, I don't know what to do in this one.
Me neither. I'm going to make a decision based on you two, basically. Whatever you two decide, and then I'm going to
make
a decision.
Well, it's up there in the Smiley Stadium, but that doesn't mean anything for the Cowboys at the moment. Look, I think the Titans are going better, but that's not saying a lot. I'm going to go the Titans by 4, but I have absolutely no reason or no rhyme for doing it.
Foolsy?
Cowboys by 6.
Yes, this is what I thought was going to happen.
I think if Tamalolo is in, then I would probably go the Cowboys. So
yeah, you can't have a caveat, mate. You got to put your tips in.
Well, okay. Well, I'm going to change it because I'm going to bank that Tamalolo's in, and I think that'll be the difference. So, yeah, let's go Tamalolo.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Let's go Tamalolo to win.
Cowboys by 4, which means the Titans are definitely winning because we've all tipped the Cowboys. Mm. Friday, 3 May, Sharks versus Storms at Points Bet. Foolsy.
I don't know if you mentioned this, but Sean Johnson is out.
Okay, sorry. Right, good.
Flanagan will come in the halves. Nakora is back from his suspension in the second row. Katoa will come back onto the wing for Ronaldo Mulitalo, who debuted last week. And
Multialo.
And Dugan is rumoured to be a pretty strong chance. For the Storm, Nelson Soffel Solomona will start in place of Corey Welsh. Corey? I don't know.
Christian,
there you go. See Welsh.
But last week, he started in jumper 15 last game.
Yeah, but
so wouldn't be surprised if they do the same thing.
Yeah, do the swap before kickoff. Sharks are looking very, very thin at the moment. And although this drew out some huge blockbusters in the past, this matchup, I'm going to say Storm by 8.
Yeah, I think the Storms are just going to be too good. There's too many outs here. I'm going to go Storms by 6.
Yeah. I mean, the way that the Sharks played last week, and as we mentioned, I think they're hanging on a bit. The Storms seem to find a way to get away with wins, and I think they'll do it again by 4.
Moving on, Saturday, 4 May, Raiders versus the Panthers at McDonald's Park. Muffy.
You going to ask me where McDonald's Park is?
I know where it is.
Oh, good. Where is it? Because I don't.
It's in Wagga.
Oh, Wagga.
Yep. Going to Wagga.
There you go.
Yep.
Taking
one of the Raiders home games to Wagga.
There we go. Boys, what time is this game on?
3 o'clock.
Yes.
Oh, we're going to be prime wedding smack bang time. In the middle of a wedding ceremony.
Back-to-back weddings for us, Muffy, this weekend.
That's right. And Fulzy's joining the party this time. We'll be able to have a big trench photo this week.
Yeah.
We will be able to.
This will be the
Rangers, Joe.
This will probably be the last wedding unless our Petey over here decides to get hitched.
No.
Sometimes you trade up. No. One of us. we could have a second one.
I don't know if any of you blokes are going to be trading up. Yeah. I reckon you blokes would only be trading down. Anyway, yes, Muffy.
Smooth, Pete. Smooth. So, for the Raiders, Bailey Samisen is on the wing.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Replacing Rapana. Oh, I've lost my place here.
Oh, that's good. Sam Williams is still in the side. Aiden Caesar has not come into the side. Corey Horsburgh and I believe the other guy that they usually
Hudson Young.
Yeah, they've switched again. So that's happened for the Raiders. Haven't looked at the Panthers side.
Yes, so basically the Panthers are unchanged.
Mm. Yeah, so that leaves DWZ in the centre still, leaves the rookie at the fullback still, Dylan Edwards still out of the squad.
Correct. Wagga, Raiders, match made in heaven, Raiders by 8.
Yeah, I don't believe this at all. I think the Panthers could smack the Raiders if they play like they did last week.
Smack is a big word.
No, I really do. I think you guys have had it over us over the last couple of seasons, particularly in games which are high scoring, and I've got a feeling there's a side that they could put to the sword and really turn their season around. I think it's the Raiders that they could do it to. Going with my heart, though, and tipping the Raiders by 4.
Soft.
But seriously, I honestly believe that the Panthers could smack the Raiders in this game.
I don't, but whatever. I'll go Panthers by 2.
I'm not putting Buffalo wings on this. It's not happening.
Well, I don't think the Panthers are actually going to win, but I'll shake it up, give them a tip.
No, I think they will. I honestly do. Anyway, I've lost all faith in my Raiders. It took 1 week. There we go.
Aww.
Saturday, 4 May, Seagulls versus the Bulldogs at Lotto Land. Foolsy.
For the Eagles, Elgi will come in for DCE. Tafua is out for Abbas Miski. Adam Fanua Blake will come back from suspension and Sipley will move to the bench. Fa'amanu Brown is in for Smith for the Dogs. Foran and Napa, though, are named on that extended bench. This Eagles backline, I just want to read you a backline. This is the backline they're running with in this game. Elgi, Croker, Parker, Sully, Miski, Garrick, Elliott. That is the worst backline I've ever seen named.
Beat the Raiders last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, but with DCE.
Without, but not with Miski in it.
But not with Miski. They had Tafua as well. Tafua is the best player out of all the ones I just read. That is awful. Nonetheless, I'll... They're a chance because it's the dog. I think I will go the Dogs by 6, though.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm going to tip the Dogs by 4 as well, but who knows? Look, it's a coin flip at the moment. Anyone's beating anyone. Mm. I just think the Bulldogs played better footy last week, even though the Seagulls got a win. And without DCE, I don't think they can back it up.
Yeah, I know. Would have had some interrupted preparation. And Croker only coming back for one game. Yes, played really well, but what happens after a second game? Like, he could have the blues. Interesting bench for the Dogs. They've named Fanumumu Brown and Leisha on the same bench, and they're both hookers. So that's interesting. So I've got a feeling that one of those is probably going to... I think Brown is probably going to make way for more than likely Napa, I think.
I think Napa's probably closer than Foran. I wouldn't be risking Foran in this game.
No.
But if Napa's close, this is two rounds earlier than you thought. Yeah. Probably it's one of those ones that, yeah.
Yeah, it just seems a weird bench to name, particularly taking Chris Smith out of there, who I thought has been, you know, he's been solid off a bench for a second row. He's done well.
Especially, even though that back line's horrendous, that pack is pretty fantastic, and they are some big boys.
They're big boppers and mobile. And
yeah, but the Manly pack's probably just as good.
That's who we're talking about.
No, that's who I mean. Yeah. So I don't...
talking about the Dogs pack. I was like, I think the Manly pack's just as good.
Yeah, I think the Manly pack is better.
Yeah.
I think they've...
As long as we're on the same page.
They got more size. They don't have as much mobility, but even saying that, like Marty Tapau was massive and quick. And
Adam Fanua Blake was huge to start the year.
All of them could throw an offload.
Yeah.
So, look, I feel bad if I go against the Dogs when you two boys have tipped them, but I've got a feeling that Manly's going to do this, so I'm going to go Manly by 4.
Holy moly.
I feel like I need to go have a shower. I feel dirty.
Well, you do, for multiple reasons. But all right, Saturday 4 May, Roosters versus the Tigers at the SCG. For the Roosters, Keary returns, Lamb has gone back to the reserves, Friend is out, Radley to hooker, and Liu returns at lock for the Tigers. Benji returns for the injured Reynolds. McQueen will start, as he did last week, with Garner on the bench. And Elijah Taylor stays in the squad this week. I think the Roosters are going to probably do a number on this Tigers outfit. I think the Tigers were good last week in bouncing back, but the Roosters are a different kettle of fish. Teddy to score the first try against his old club, as per usual, because that's just what Teddy does, and I'm going to go the Roosters by 10.
Yeah, it's hard to tip the Tigers in this one, even though it could be they could make it interesting. But
an arm wrestle, it could, yeah.
But I think, you've got to go the Roosters, and Roosters by 8.
I'll go Roosters by 16.
16?
I mean, even when there's kind of close games, like last week, they're still winning by 10, and I think they can pretty comfortably win this one.
Fair enough. Sunday 5 May, Warriors versus the Knights at Mount Pete. Fulsey.
RTS.
See what I did there?
That's ridiculous. RTS and Green are huge ins for the Warriors. Green keeps getting named. Who knows if he'll play, but allegedly he will. Yads Tavanga is out. So, that's a bit of a loss. No changes, though, to the Knights. This is a tough one. The Knights were better last week, but the Warriors would have beaten a lot of teams last weekend, the way they showed up. I'm going to go the home team by 2.
Yeah, I think the Warriors by 6. Knights have not been playing as well as the Warriors have been. Warriors have been playing some tough teams, and they should have won last week without half these players. Mm. You add RTS back in, and I think the Warriors are going to get it done in this game.
Yeah, from what I saw the Warriors last week, I think they probably deserve RTS's back, as you mentioned. Who's Patrick Herbert? Because he's on the, he's in the centres.
He's in the centres.
He was a weapon last week. Yeah. He was hunting guys down and smashing them.
He did, yeah. He's staying in the side for Qatar at the moment.
He should. He was great.
Yeah, yeah.
The interesting bench again for the Warriors, they've named Nathaniel Roach and Jared Beal on a four-man bench. They've only got Blair and Bunty as their forwards.
Yeah, who knows what Kearney's doing.
But again, they've got guys in that forward pack that can pretty much play all day. So Harris, Burr, Papali, if need be. Warriors at Mount Smart, got to go then by six.
All right, moving on. Sunday, 5 May, Eels versus the Dragons at Bank West.
Ooh, Bank West one. Another one.
Another one at Bank West. For the Eels, Alvaro returns at prop. Penny Terapo drops to the bench, and Ray Stone is out of the side. For the Dragons, Aitken to the bench with Ravalawa starting on the wing and Lomax moving to the centres. Laurie starts with Host on the bench, but that could switch as it did last week. Look, another tough one, boys. It's a tough part of the year at the moment. We don't know what's going on. Teams are really struggling. I think the Eels at home, though, are going to bounce back after last week. I think the Dragons might be the better side, though. It's real tough. I'm going to go the Eels by two, but I don't have any faith.
Yeah, just because it's at the new stadium, I think the Eels will have another close to sellout, if not a sellout crowd there, which you know can only help. So I'll go the Eels by four.
It's a tough one. I'm thinking St. George, but a Lomax Ravalawa pairing could let in 80 million tries. So
80 million?
80 million
tries.
That's
a lot of tries in a game.
I'm going to go St. George. I thought they were okay.
You just were talking.
Yeah, they'll score 81 million tries.
Right, okay. So, yeah, right. That's good. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the round 8 preview. Fulzy, do you want to update us on the tipping comp? We'll just go straight into it.
Oh, I'll do that. Yeah, why not?
All right.
I was looking good at the start of the week. I picked the Dragon, so not at the very start.
How many did you have in the end?
I only missed one up until Sunday, and then I missed the two Sunday games.
Oh, so you had five.
Yeah.
You got one back on me, at least.
Oh,
yeah,
mate.
But I got done on the two Sunday games.
You're right back in this. You are now equal last.
Yeah.
You're only 3 points off me.
Last.
I'm pretty bad. You're only 2 points ahead of me, though. You're pretty bad.
Oh,
but the top three, you're ninth from bottom.
Where's
I don't know why.
Third, fourth.
Nah, it's sorting it in reverse. It's ridiculous. So it's saying Rangers is 19th. But he's first. And he's got 40. He's building a bit of a lead.
So what's Pete on? How many points?
He is on 35.
So he's five behind Rangers, and I'm 5 behind Pete. So I'm 10 behind Rangers.
Yeah.
You're in big trouble.
I'm catching.
Yeah.
You're not catching. You were 7 behind before.
I think I was 13.
No, you weren't. You're making stuff up. You were 7 behind. You're going backwards.
And Jared's got a real presence in our league, actually. The Hayne Payne has 38. Haynes Lunch also has 38. The Hot Snakes has 38. And the Premium Den has 38.
Just quickly, Sports Trench League One, Arkham's Inmates are leading with a 5-0 record. And a number of teams with 4-1 going down from Steel Thinking, Chuck Person, B Trench Invaders, Slippery Balls, Bronchosaurus Rex. They're all in the top 8 there. Muffy, you and I have some work to do. The Petey Pablos are 2-3 and struggling in 13th. And Barbecue for One is 0-5 in Sports Trench One.
And what, 0-5?
0-5.
Number 2 is where it's at.
You're in big trouble. In Sports Trench League 2, Wood Raiders, 5-0 record. Again, number of teams on 4-1. Well, 3 teams, actually. Tropic Thunder, B Trench Invaders. Rangers is having a year. As soon as he gets off the pot, he's having a year. 2019 sellouts. Barbecue for One is in 5th with 3-2 record. Number of teams with 3-2 record out to Campos Colt in the top 8. Chuck Person, Fulzy, 2-3. Petey Pablo's 2-3. And I'm in big trouble.
You're struggling in both leagues. There's some money struggling in one.
Stupid league, though.
Yeah. So in my cash league's where it matters the most, and I'm 2-3 in that as well. So
I'm 4-1 in that.
Oh, dear. Anyway, in a bit of a struggle.
I think I'm 3-2, maybe.
Show me the money.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of Supercoach. Let's move on then, shall we, to Simona says Grevis should gamble.
Show me the money! What you gonna do, Jerry?
Fulzy, yep. You're up this week, mate.
I am. Thank you. Thank you.
What are your rules this week?
Oh, my. Look, I know I had to have at least 4-1, I think it was.
Yeah, I think that's the one.
But sometimes you see something so juicy.
Well, I just want to say it's very hard for me to get Melbourne to win and Curtis Scott to score a try when he doesn't even start the bloody game.
He's new. Latrell Mitchell. Well, they probably had the same hit-ups.
Better than that, it would have gone Ryan Pippa-Hoosen to score, yeah. But he didn't either. So.
Ryu Hadouken. This bet, just too juicy. Rabbits versus Broncos, match points over 41.5. Titans-Cowboys, match points over 38.5. Manly Dogs, match points, 38.5. Melbourne to win, the Knights versus Dogs, 38.5. I think I said that, so that's good.
So this is all one bet?
This is all one bet.
Oh, wow.
Isaac Louis and Josh Aloyer, they're going to have the same amount of tries this week, and that'll get you $21.
So you can bet they'll have the same amount of tries?
Yep.
So it could be zero?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm banking on. And
God, I hope one of them scores a try.
$20.18 there. That's good free money.
We're never gonna write that down so I can put it on the page because no one.
Oh, I screenshotted it. Don't worry.
Okay. All right. Garth has got a couple of same game multis for us this week. He's got one that he says is free money. Three leg same game multi, $3.60. Penrith Panthers +12.5. Game points over 33.5. And high scoring half the second half. And for his mega multi, he's gone with the same game. Over 41.5. Joey Leilua, anytime try scorer. Panthers 1-12. Raiders 5-8 halftime. So he reckons the Raiders are going to fade. And time of first try, 8 minutes or later. $25. 25 houses will get you 22,525 houses.
I imagine cleaning that. I'm thinking of hiring a cleaner for my one house.
Yep.
All right, so that's the same game multi. I'll throw that up on the page a little bit later on. That brings us to the end of the show, lads. We're done. We're going to the wedding this weekend.
Yeah.
Yep. Gonna be good.
Yeah.
Might have a beer or two.
Nah,
no beers.
I'm getting my flu vax today.
What does that mean?
You can't drink. Just be too autistic for beers. Come Saturday.
Yeah, no, I don't know why you're doing this. Yeah.
Did you not go to a $200 seminar?
Oh, yeah. Look, I tried, but it was booked out.
So I read a pamphlet.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the show. Enjoy the football this weekend, everyone, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
You want to know a crazy stat?
McSorley.
Crazy stat for everyone out there. You know, the actor who plays Theon Greyjoy
is Lily Allen's brother.
Yeah.
That's not a crazy stat.
That is a crazy stat.
That everyone's known that.
Nah, that I wouldn't have picked that. You know? Anyway, bye.
Bye.